Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are excited about God's Word on this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your Word. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray for every listener that they will hear your word and receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Oftentimes in our lives as believers, our faith is tested. God will command us to do something that is not seen or heard of before. As we study the life of Abraham, we will gain spiritual insight, revelation, and knowledge of what it truly means to lean and depend on the Lord during times of testing. The title of this sermon series is The Test That Leads to Worship. I will be reading in your hearing from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he split wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Just a little about the background of Genesis. We know the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. The author, as both scripture and tradition, attribute to the Pentateuch, which is simply the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, to Moses. Throughout all the pages of Genesis, God's unmerited grace is emphasized. His grace is displayed in the creation of the world, in the creation of man, in the flood, in the life of Abraham, and in the dealings with the patriarchs. Now let's look at our foundational text. Genesis 22:1 says, Now it came about after these things. So let's look at the previous chapters to understand the context of our lesson text. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 2, here Sarah conceives a son to Abraham, and his name is Isaac. The name Isaac means laughter, because initially Abraham and Sarah laughed in disbelief when the Lord made the promise to them that Sarah would give birth to the promised seed, Isaac. The Lord had promised Abraham that he would make his name great. He would make him a great nation through his promised seed. And in Genesis chapter 21, verse 5, the Bible says, Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So what we observe here is in the face of many impossibilities and odds, the Lord performs a miracle in their lives. Genesis 21:8 says, And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. In Genesis 22, Isaac is now a young man, and it says that God tested Abraham. Our first biblical principle is the test that leads to worship is initiated by God. The word God in this text comes from the Hebrew name Elohim, which means supreme ruler, supreme judge, majestic king, or supreme God. Simply said, God rules over everybody and everything. He is master. He has absolute jurisdiction over all the affairs of all men. The name Elohim is referenced in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Elohim is our all-powerful creator. He's the God that knows all. He's the God who is all-powerful. He is also omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. He has knowledge of all things and is all-seeing. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it reads, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And light has never stopped being." In Genesis 1 verse 3, it reads, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." God is a spirit. His spirit is present from the beginning of time and at the creation of the world. He is the God that we were created to worship. And he is worthy of all the glory, honor, and the praises. And here in our lesson text in Genesis 22 verse 1, God comes on the scene in Abraham's life. Our supreme ruler, our majestic God, not only relates to creation, but he relates to humankind and to all of his children in a personal and intimate way. Our majestic King, our great God, he desires and longs to interact with us and to make his presence known to us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it declares, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Here the Lord God is communing and walking with Adam and Eve. He was making himself real to them as he does to us and desiring that close, intimate relationship. God initiates and makes the first move. It is all God's idea. He takes the center stage. He is the Lord God who comes to see about us. Even in our individual lives, God shows up on the scenes in different stages and phases at appointed times and specific places that he chooses. And we must do our part and allow God free reign, control, and access to every aspect of our lives. And you might say, Bible teacher Tyler, why would an all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, be concerned about me? Why would he come on the scene in my life? Well, I'm so glad you asked. God loves you with an everlasting love. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 4 19 declares, "We love him because he first loved us." God loved Abraham. And in Genesis 22 1, he shows up in his life to test him. And he shows up in our lives to test us. He decides what kind of test to give us. He decides how to test us, when to test us, and how long the test will last. Because the test that leads to worship, our second biblical principle, is administered by God. God is doing the testing. The word test means to prove, to try, to scrutinize, or to put to the proof. All throughout school and our classroom instructions, we are accustomed to taking tests. And instead of going into the classroom setting due to us coming out of a recent pandemic, a lot of our testing was done via Zoom or online. And I'm reminded of our powerful leadership series courses that we took at Lincoln Bible College. And at one point, Apostle Giles mentioned that he would give us pop quizzes or a surprise test. And immediately in my heart, I began to wonder, am I going to pass these tests? Am I prepared for pop quizzes? And there was always a purpose for every test. It was basically to test our understanding and knowledge of the subject matters. And I thank the Lord that we received excellent training and instruction, and we were prepared in advance and passed all the surprise tests. God also gives us surprise tests, and usually without any warning. He will test us with circumstances and challenges that make no sense. Why did God test Abraham? What was the purpose of God's test? What kind of test was it? Did Abraham pass the test? Scripture clearly reveals this was not the first time that Abraham was administered a test by God. We find in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is called out of a pagan world. He is given instructions to leave all that he knew and was comfortable with to relocate to a foreign land. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, it reads, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And Genesis 12, verse 4 declares, "So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Abraham obeyed, not knowing where he was going or where he would end up. He simply followed the voice of God. He responded by faith and believed God. He knew that God was faithful. He trusted the character of God. And Abraham was intimately acquainted with the voice of God. In this test, Abraham displayed radical obedience. It was an act of faith. Abraham passed the test, and the Lord appears to Abram and confirms his promise and rewards Abram's faith. And this was before his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. The Lord was well pleased with the obedience of his servant. And then Abraham is tested again in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. There's a famine in the land, and the Lord tests Abraham's obedience. Abraham decides to leave on his own and goes down to Egypt, when instead God made it clear he wanted Abraham in Canaan. Abraham fails the test. He goes in a different direction and he steps out of the will of God. Then we find in Genesis chapter 16, Abraham's faith is tested again when the birth of the promised son is delayed. In his impatience and disobedience, he fails the test, and he goes into the Egyptian slave Hagar and has a son by her. And we have all been there, where we have walked in disobedience, or we have been so impatient while waiting on the Lord to fulfill a promise in our lives, and we take matters into our own hands, and it never ends up good for us. We also find in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham is tested again. Abimelech took his wife Sarah, and instead of trusting God, Abraham lies and says that Sarah is his sister twice. Abraham passes one test, and then we see later he fails three tests. Now let's continue in our foundational text. Genesis 22:1, it states, Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. In this passage, we know now his name has already been changed from Abram to Abraham, which simply means father of a multitude. The Lord promises to make his name great and to make him a great nation. So now will Abraham pass this test? He has a history now. He has experiential knowledge of God's goodness and grace and faithfulness at work in his life. He has already learned that God can do the impossible and perform miracles by the birth of Isaac. Now Abraham has a track record with the Lord. He has some successes and some failures. And even in our own lives, we experience successes and some failures with the Lord. And we too have also experienced God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives for ourselves. He is no longer mama's God or grandmama's God or daddy's God. He is our God. We have a personal relationship with him and we know him and we have tried him for ourselves. And he has proven time and time and time again to be faithful, regardless of whether we pass or fail the test. We know without a doubt that we can rely and trust and depend on the faithfulness of God. He will fulfill his purposes and his plan for our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The test that leads to worship is initiated by God. It's administered by God. And our third biblical principle is the test that leads to worship is commanded by God. In Genesis chapter 22, 1, the Lord says, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. When God calls Abraham, Abraham responds immediately. He knows the voice of God and he freely and openly responds to his voice. He is ready and willing to follow and obey God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, When he puts all of his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. However, a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. We know the voice of God because we are intimately acquainted with him. The Lord gives Abraham three commandments in our scripture text, Genesis 22, verse 2. It reads, Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. These commandments given by the Lord seem contradictory and inconsistent with Sarah's miraculous birth, and they seem to contradict God's promises. Command number one says, Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. The word take in this text means to lay hold of, to bring, to fetch, or to seize. The word now is an exhortation. It's encouraging. It means I pray or I beseech. God's commandment in this verse is specific, clear, concise, and we observe the word son is repeated twice for emphasis. The Lord wants the only son born to Abraham and Sarah, not the other son, Ishmael, born out of impatience and disobedience. He wants the promised seed, his beloved son, the son that Abraham has waited on for 25 years and born when he was 100 years old. He wants Abraham to give back what he has promised and given to him. And oftentimes, God will command us to release something that is near and dear to our hearts, something or someone that we love and cherish. He will command us to surrender it, to give it to him, not the scraps. He doesn't want the leftovers or the last fruits. He wants the first fruits. The Lord wants to know, Abraham, do you love Isaac more than you love me? Do you love the dream more than the dream giver? Do you love the promise more than the promise keeper? We sing the song in church, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that is who you are. God is a promise keeper. But do we trust the Lord who fulfills the promises in our lives? Because some promises might not be fulfilled until eternity or in the next generations to come. Do we really trust the Lord? Do we worship the gift or the blessings that he gives us more than we worship him? Or have we erected idols in our lives, which is just a place, a thing, or a person that we love and worship and trust and fear more than the Lord? The Lord will not tolerate idols in our lives. He is a jealous God. And whatever the Lord has commanded us to release in our lives, we must lay hold of it, seize it, and bring it to him. We can never lose when we surrender everything to the Lord. It is the wisest decision that we can make. In our foundational text, Genesis 22:2, God commands Abraham to take his only son whom he loved. This is the first mention of love in the Bible, in the King James Version. It refers to the love between a father and a son, and it is connected with the idea of the sacrificial offering of the son. The law of first mention is simply when we find a word or idea or doctrine for the first time that it is introduced in Scripture. And it helps us to better understand and gives us insight into how that word or idea should be viewed or used in other passages. The first command is for Abraham to take his only son. The second command is for Abraham to get into the land of Moriah. God commands Abraham to go to a specific place, an assigned place, a particular spot that he chooses. Moriah means chosen by God. This is the mount on the eastern of Jerusalem on which Solomon built the temple. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Abraham is given specific instructions and commanded by God to travel from his home and go to an unknown land, as before, a place only known by God. The third thing the Lord commanded Abraham was to offer him Isaac there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which he would tell Abraham. So now the commandments are getting more and more intense. And our fourth biblical principle is the test that leads to worship requires sacrifice. Abraham's son, Isaac, is the sacrificial offering, and Abraham must be willing to give God what he has commanded him to surrender. The word offer in this text means to go up, to ascend, or to come before the Lord. The Lord didn't call for a ram or a goat or a calf. He didn't call for a drink offering or a grain or peace offering. He didn't command Abraham to release his money or possessions or any possible substitute. Abraham was wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with believers being wealthy as long as the wealth and the money does not own us or have us or control us. In Proverbs 13, 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. God called Isaac to be brought as a burnt offering. Can you imagine if we thought we knew best what offerings or sacrifices to bring to the Lord? Or if we knew best how to worship God? The question remains, how will God's promise of descendants through Isaac come to fruition if Abraham is to kill Isaac? Romans 9, verse 7 declares, was it not said that in Isaac shall all thy seed be called? Isaac represented everything that God had promised Abraham, a great name, a great nation, descendants, and this commandment just does not make any sense. It defies all logic. It's baffling and painful and unreasonable. Why would God now command Abraham to take the special child of promise and offer him as a sacrifice? Will Abraham trust God with his beloved son that the Lord has given him? And in our lives, on this faith journey, a lot of things will not make sense. I could not understand why the Lord waited for 20 years before he sent me a godly mate. I could not understand why the Lord would bless me with a successful business and after 10 years would have me to give it up to someone who had no skin in the game. God does not owe us an explanation. Some things are not explainable, but we must decide in our hearts we will trust the Lord in spite of our lack of understanding, that we will trust his providence and divine plan for our lives. And now here are some practical applications for our lesson. Number one, obey God's commandments no matter what. Number two, daily invest time studying and meditating on God's word. Just remember, every test is an open book test. Number three, be willing to sacrifice and surrender everything God has given you in your life. And you might ask, Bible teacher Tyler, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for salvation that's taking place all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you. Until we meet again.